Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have an hour to spend together after the game. A full show tomorrow night, by the way. And my buddy Pat Gaffey's going to be on with me. Pat worked for me in Los Angeles. I think it was his first job on the air. We probably won't talk about that, at least not much, because Pat has written a book about Bobby Rich, who was my program director in L.A. at another station, and was also Pat's boss. And Bobby's worked at half the radio stations in America, and including programmed KSTT in Davenport, where he stayed for 4 years, which is 4 years longer than most people who went through that revolving door, so that alone is a feat. But we'll talk about radio and good things like that. So full show tomorrow night. But as for tonight, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. I was looking for something to talk about, and Engineer Bob always comes up with a ton of interesting things, but this one really caught my eye. I was looking for something else, came across this, and I said, you got to be kidding me, and that is popular foods that came from the military. Yeah, right there. I was thinking to myself, military, you usually think of those MREs. I think they're stood for meals ready to eat, or perhaps meals rejected by the enemy, I don't know, but very few people would wax fondly of days gone by and MREs, but apparently you'd be surprised about what came about because of the military. M&Ms? Absolutely. Forrest Mars, who was the son of the founder, Franklin Clarence Mars, was in Europe, and this was 1930s, and apparently he observed soldiers in the 30s eating chocolate pellets that were surrounded by a sugar shell. This was the Spanish Civil War. So he took the concept back to America. In 1941, he comes up with M&Ms, but initially, he doesn't give it to the public. They were made specifically for the U.S. military during World War II. In fact, they didn't get distributed to the public until 1947, and hence the slogan, melts in your mouth, not in your hand, although anybody who's eaten M&Ms knows that that's not entirely true, but regardless, it caught on, and its popularity has never waned since. But this one surprised me. M&Ms, it made sense. Cheetos? Yeah, apparently so. The origins trace back to Natick Soldier System Center, or Natick Soldier System Center, a U.S. Army research complex responsible for development of military food. How would that be for your day job? Also military clothing and shelters. And one of the items to come out of the complex was processed powdered cheese, created specifically for the military in World War II. Now, this is one of those that was kind of an MRE, but it absolutely grew, because at the end of the war, there was an entire industry sprung up to support dehydrated cheese. And one of the very first products to ever use it was Cheetos. Instant coffee? I'm not a coffee drinker, so I can't speak. But apparently, its need goes back to military form. It appeared in cake form during the Civil War, before being refined by a Japanese chemist who had a soluble coffee introduced to the public in 1901. But instant coffee, as we know it, became commonplace during World War I as a quick and easy taste of home for soldiers on the front line. And the Department of Defense became the biggest customer, 37 pounds of coffee powder each day, which of course, caused an entire industry, the instant coffee industry. And in 1938, Nestle introduced its new product, Nescafe, and of course, timing was on their side, too, because it wasn't long before the outbreak of World War II, and Nescafe was included in the emergency rations of every U.S. soldier. Yeah. Minute Maid, 1942. The Army offered a contract to any company that could figure out a process for producing palatable frozen orange juice. Wouldn't you like to see the rejected entries? But nonetheless, what they were doing is they claimed that this was how they'd keep vitamin C levels at acceptable rates for the troops. And, you know, you'd think they could just give them a vitamin. But it wasn't until actually the war was pretty much over that a viable process was created. And it was Florida Foods Corporation that won a contract to produce 500,000 pounds of orange juice concentrate before the product was shipped. The war ended. So here you have this product. It wasn't, you didn't need to have any type of a program for them to recoup their losses, because, of course, the contract paid off. But there was 500,000 pounds of something. And so here, Vacuum Foods Corporation, Florida Foods became Vacuum Foods, began selling the nation's first concentrated frozen orange juice, and they called it Minute Maid, because they say it could be prepared in just a minute. Initially, sales were slow. You know, who wants to eat a frozen orange? Well, apparently it took off. It was Bing Crosby who did the jingle for that. And then, of course, as you might know, that started a ton of frozen products. And not far behind, those of you long of tooth probably still refer to them this way. I know I do when I go to the store and want a frozen milk. Let's get some TB dinners. This goes back to 1953, produced by Swanson. And that I knew. I remember that horrible thing. It was a Thanksgiving meal of turkey and what passed for cornbread stuffing and peas. Yeah, you don't want to know. And then later they had this thing that was fried chicken, sort of. But in any event, while Swanson took TB dinners to the masses, what I did not realize was initially, I love this, it was the military. In 1945, Maxon Foods manufactured the first complete frozen meal, Stratoplate, specifically to be reheated by troops and other passengers on long military flights. And it was a three-part combo, your meat, your vegetable, your potato, each in its own little compartment on a plastic plate. See, Swanson wasn't original, as you can see. Never made it to civilian market, but they were absolutely the precursor to the TB dinner. There's no way to get around it. And finally, Spam. Yeah. A Hawaiian staple, to say the least. It wasn't really invented for the military, but war rations popularized it. It was created in 1937 by Hormel, as you probably know, and it was a way to increase the sales of something that wasn't selling, which was pork shoulder, just a very poor seller. It was undesirable. Nobody wanted it. And initially, sales of Spam were poor for all the right reasons. Yeah, people doubted it. Yeah, but then World War II began. And the military saw Spam as a perfect addition to soldiers' rations. Affordable, filling, easily portable, shelf-stable. And 100 million cans were shipped out to the Pacific Theater alone. Became somewhat of a culinary icon, considering what else was in the ready-to-eat meals. But today, more than 9 billion cans of Spam have been sold, and I swear half of them to Hawaii. In any event, there's some stuff. As far as that goes, maybe make you laugh. This won't make you laugh, I don't think, but hopefully it's fairly good news. We've got an update from Jim in Richmond. So how's Jim? You went to the doctor today. How's it going?
It was a interesting day. I can first start out. We can get this med bed thing off of the table.
Yeah. By the way, I was reading about it, and yes, I'm glad you think so. I do too.
Because he looked it up. He was really nice. I spent a lot of time talking to him today. He looked it up and said it was a conspiracy theory started by the president. And he even looked it up on Wikipedia, and that said the same thing.
Yeah, well, firstly, Wikipedia is not a source. And I know that the AI calls it a conspiracy theory. I wouldn't go with that. And the fact that it's a secret healing technology. In other words, what I don't like about it has nothing to do that supposedly it's this conspiracy stuff. It's just that I don't think that the technology, and I'm not saying there's something about life force energy that doesn't exist. I'm just saying that at this point, there's virtually nothing that's actually going to measure what they think it measures.
Right. And so I mentioned that to my friend, and she got very upset with me because she thinks about all that stuff. But I just took that off my mind. But we had a long conversation. I've been going to him for 8 years, and I had my cataracts done by his father like 25, 28 years ago. And we discussed that I'm not getting better. And he said that he is very upset about that. He says he's trying his best, and so did the retina specialist, to save my sight.
Right.
But it's we're not doing very well with that. And then he mentioned the three other glaucoma people that I went to, and I said they were all working on it. He said normally we can cure glaucoma, but it's not working out. So I was, you know, shocked about that. And, but
it's hard news.
We discussed,
it's very hard
news. Right.
So you discussed
and
what?
And then we discussed, about the, MRI on my brain, about looking into if it's affecting my eyes, you know, the, and he said, can you see, I said, can they see what's behind my eyes and stuff in the scan? And he goes, I don't know, but I'm going to look into it. And then I thought when you have my chart that it includes all the doctors.
No. Here's the problem with that. It will include notes. Like, for instance, your doctor will get an MRI report, but he won't necessarily see the actual scans. You've got to ask for that.
Right. He said, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to request to see if I can see the scans and see if, you know, basically I have no sight at all in my right eye now. And he said he wants to see if they could see the optic nerve to see what was wrong.
Right.
He's going to look into that.
Okay, good.
And we had a really nice conversation and stuff. And, but I had good news. The pressure in my sight eye was 10, and he was very happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And because, it wasn't, 20 or something. So, but, I'm not in a good mood tonight. But so Monday I go see the retina specialist, and then he sent a report over to him. I'm going to see what he says about things. So, but that's where it stands, and I got that med bed thing out of my mind
and
stuff. And,
I don't think that at this point in time that it's worth pursuing. But here is the deal. Obviously, with that type of a diagnosis, you know that your attention has to turn toward coping without sight, period. And it makes it even more important that what little sight you have left, you're able to use to be able to become independent when you have no sight. And that's why one of the places that really seemed exciting to me was Hadley, that we talked about in Winnetka, because they I think, are devoted to people who lose their sight later. And so
Hadley is in Winnetka?
Yeah, Hadley is in Winnetka.
Oh, good. I'll look into that.
Yeah, hadleyhelps.org.
Right.
And
I
definitely
will
look into
help me.
Yes. Check that out for sure.
And then I'll tell you about my experience at the Apple store in Old Orchard.
Okay.
I was there for 2 hours, and all I wanted them to do was to change some things on my phone. And I used to have where all my contacts, when I, wanted to see my contacts, they were in with letters that were over an inch tall, so I could easily see who I'm looking for and stuff. And they made it even worse than what it was with the 26.2, software. And then I wanted them to, because the time on my phone, I guess they have where it's energy saver and it goes to dark numbers and then white numbers. I said I want white numbers all the time.
Right.
And then, and I had one person come up to help. Oh, I have to find someone else. And then another person, I have to find someone else.
Right.
And then the third person. And then finally, I asked them about, do you have anything like the Meta glasses?
Right.
And it was like I asked him if there was
absolutely
snow in the store.
Right. No, I was expecting that. Yeah, they thought you wanted them to solve the Grand Unified Theory. I understand.
Right.
That type of help you're just not going to find traditionally at those stores.
Right. And then they showed me this one thing that you wear on your head, and it's supposed to help you. But we can't demonstrate it to you. We could just show you the product, and it's, you know, bolted down. So I can't believe this, you know.
Oh, sure you can. And, it's not meant for that.
Right. And then, I told them about HumanWare, where, you know, you put it over what you want to read, and it'll read it for you. I never heard of that.
Yeah.
And I'm going... And they call these people geniuses, you know?
Well, right. So. But no, especially things like that. Remember, all those retail places are going to be set up for the lowest common denominator, the stuff that moves in great volume, the stuff that the average person would be using. When you're looking there wanting assistive devices and all that, it's a limited universe. And so they know next to nothing about it. That's why when I mentioned Hadley or other places, these are places that can probably give you leads on where to go to get the answers you need, because it's not going to be general market retail.
Well, I'll be back in Skokie on Monday to go see the other doctor, and maybe I can find out about this Hadley place in Winnetka by then.
Hopefully.
And what was funny is I'm ready to walk out the door, and I called my brother to come get me, and all of a sudden the phone screen when it rings is pure white.
Oh, geez.
And I can't see anything. It's just blaring back at me. So I go, "Where's that person that helped me?" "Oh, we're going to have to put you back in line."
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And I go, this is 3:30. And I've been there since 2:00. I'm not waiting. You find somebody.
Good.
And they go, "Well, we can't do that. We have to put you back in line." I says, "I'm not waiting." So I waited another 10, 15 minutes. And then the first girl that originally helped me, and then she came over, and it took her 10 minutes just to take that white screen off when you make a phone call.
Yeah.
And I wanted to yell and scream as I'm walking out the door.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine. Well, it sounds like a tough day all the way around, though you sound in good spirits, and I'm thrilled to hear that. And keep me posted. Let me know what happens. I really hope
I'll
you get to Hadley.
I'll let you know on Tuesday, because Monday is trivia night.
Yep, and I'll look forward to it.
Thank you and all your listeners.
Absolutely.
And
we'll talk to you soon.
Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Okay, bye. All right.
Okay, bye.
Jim sounds good, but that's a real hard thing to hear, to say the least. So now my hope is it will motivate him to really get on the ball with saying, okay, I'm not going to have sight while I've still got some. Let me figure out how I can learn to do what I need to do. And that's one of the things that Hadley's good at. So hopefully that'll work out. And I believe that Fran and Austin's got something to add to that. Doreen is in Columbia, Missouri. All right. And... I'm not sure what we're going to talk about, but we'll find out right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
While Gotham City sleeps, Batman's grandmother is being kidnapped by the arch criminal known as...
The Green Beret.
Commissioner Gordon dials the secret number of the Batcave.
6-3-4-5-7-8-9.
Holy smoke, Batman, they got your grandmother.
Quick, Robin, to the Batmobile.
Great Scott, Batman! Something's heading right for us. Here it comes! Holy cow, Batman! I've wrecked the Batmobile!
Come here, baby. Scratching my back.
No time for that now, Robin.
Look, Batman, it's the Green Beret and Grandmother.
I'll save her, Robin.
Gee whiz, Batman, what happened?
Bang, bang, shut me down.
Is this the end of Batman? Stay tuned to this record. So far, Batman's grandmother has been kidnapped. Batman has been shot. Robin has had his 19th nervous breakdown. But the best is yet to come.
Batman! Batman! Speak to me!
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Dickie Goodman. Actually, I thought it was one of his better efforts. And he did that with George Goldner in 1966 on Redbird. So it was Victor who requested that from Maryland. So hopefully he was tuning in and got to hear it. So, all right. 888-876-5593. Doreen is in Columbia, Missouri. Doreen, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you very much. I certainly do enjoy your program, my dear.
Great to have you.
I told John that my son was in the Marine Corps, and another name for MREs is Meals Refusing to Exit.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's, and you know, that's probably really true. Oh, God.
Yeah. So, yeah, the first time he told me that, I thought, well, that's a rather interesting name, and it certainly works. So
I can just imagine it, because that's got to be a huge problem with those things.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that, my dear.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted you called.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah, I had not heard that one. Yeah, refused by the enemy, yes, but refused to exit. Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what. All right, Fran and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Rowie. Well, I'm going to try to say what I can, and I hope that it's taken in the spirit that it's meant, because I understand. I mean, I have a lot of empathy for Jim, and, you know, I mean, I've been blind since birth, so it's a whole different kettle of fish for me, but meta glasses are not going to do you any good unless you learn voiceover.
Right.
And unless you learn how to use your phone without sight, and if you are dealing with, and it, you know, it sounds like your vision is getting worse and worse, magnification is probably not where you want to put your energies.
Right. Agreed.
Because pretty soon, you know, because I hate to say it, but, you know, sounds like pretty soon you're not going to be able to see the screen at all.
Right.
And I agree with you. While you can still see the screen a little bit, it's going to be easier. And I know every time we've mentioned voiceover, he doesn't want anything to do with it. But meta glasses are not going to work for you. I mean, I know voiceover very well, and I haven't gotten them yet because I want to find some place that'll let me try them out first.
Sure.
You know, I know some people that have gotten them that are very good at using their phones, and they just, you know, some people love them and some people just like, oh, I wish I had never got these.
Yeah, it's absolutely a frustration level that I understand. And I hear exactly what you're saying, because, of course, Jim, like all of us, wants the magic bullet so that he doesn't have to put in what's necessary to learn the things that are basically new tricks for an old dog, like all of us. And I get that. But,
right.
But now the clock is ticking, because he has such an advantage. The fact that he can see anything at all, it's such an advantage. And we don't know when that's going away completely. So he needs, and I agree with you, needs to absolutely do nothing other than concentrating on this. And, you know, to get the hang of as many things as he can.
I mean, he's just right now at this point, it's, you know, he's just making some ophthalmologists, you know, rich.
Well,
not necessarily. I mean, I would hope that he could keep what vision he has at least, but it just, every time I hear, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And, when I was a little kid, and I know it's a different situation because I was a child, but my mother was driving me crazy. She was taking me doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor. And she was a single mom. She didn't have a lot of money, and she was spending money she didn't have, taking me to UCLA Medical Center, taking me to here, taking me to there. And there was one point at which there was an experimental surgery. See, my optic nerve didn't develop.
Right.
And there was an experimental surgery that they could have done. But the doctor said, well, you know, we can do this for her, but there is a good possibility, because we have to go so far back, you know, into the brain, or, you know, near the brain, that she could be brain damaged.
Oh, my God.
And my mother said, you know, absolutely not, because, you know, by that time I was 5 or 6 years old and getting into all kinds of stuff,
right,
you know,
of course,
climbing on things and
right,
doing normal kid stuff.
Right.
And, you know, she said, I'd much rather, you know, and the doctor, one doctor told her, you know, okay, you've got two options. You can keep spending money you don't have. And, you know, or you can accept that your daughter is blind and try to raise her, you know.
Yeah, as normally as possible,
as
of
independent.
Course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and otherwise, you know, you're going to have to be her, you know, do everything for her, and she's going to resent you, and you're going to resent her. And, you know, she's obviously a very bright little girl, and she's very inquisitive, and, you know, she'll be fine. But... I know, you know, it's harder to just accept it when you've had sight all your life. So I'm not saying, okay, get over it, accept
no.
it. You're losing your sight. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, oh, also, human wear has nothing to do. Apple is not going to know anything
right.
about human
right.
wear. It's a whole different animal. I think, you know, if you... you know, your best bet, his best bet would be to, now I don't know what kind of courses Hadley has on iPhones. Most of their stuff is, I took a typing course there when I was really young.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, but they're doing a lot of stuff on Zoom now, but he has to, you know, learn to use Zoom.
What I'm hoping is that it'll be a community that, you know, because they've got that as well in support, where he can talk with people who are absolutely in his position, or maybe who have lost their sight entirely later in life, who will be able to help him adjust to this in a way that will be productive and proactive rather than limiting.
Yeah, but, you know, he's, you know, focusing on magnification and things like that, and needs to be focusing on how to do things without.
Yeah, I agree.
Without
sight. Vision at all,
but,
absolutely.
You know,
but yeah, Hadley also has podcasts and things like that. Like I was listening to one on getting organized after vision loss, and I thought, God, I can see and I can't get organized. What is going on here? So, you know, lots of routines.
I'm far from organized.
Yeah, right, exactly. But, you know, routines and habits and just tips that maybe he hadn't thought of in these ways that can help you be less stressed. So there's a ton of things like that that are out there.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the Meta glasses, I don't even think he should be going there at this point until he learns how to use his phone without sight.
No, this is true. And we talked about that before. Any of those assistive devices like that, you first have to have the basics, period.
Yeah, and I know every time we mention voiceover, I know you cringe, Jim, but, you know, that's... Unfortunately, that's the only way you're going to get it done.
Yeah, well, and hopefully that will he'll get to a point where he'll be able to say, hey, I'm going to do this no matter what. Oh, everybody hates a learning curve. I get that. I'd love workarounds.
I do, too.
Yeah, that's right. No, absolutely. I don't think there's anybody alive who says, oh, yeah, let me frustrate myself further. You know, most of these devices, the only thing they teach you is how to curse. You learn how to conjugate curse words in ways you've never considered before. But ultimately,
you know, I've had to deal with a lot of changes in my own life lately that I don't want. I don't want to, you know,
that's exactly
I feel like
right.
I'm stomping
right.
my feet like
right.
a little kid. I don't want to eat more healthy. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that.
Right.
You know, but it's like the point there comes, okay, yeah, you don't want to do it, but what choice have you got?
Yeah. And the other thing, as you well know, that when you go through the pain of a new trick, and the learning curve is a pain no matter what. Anybody who says, "Oh, I really love
right.
the fa-," no, you're frustrated to death. You're gnashing your teeth and all that stuff. But when you get through the other side of it and it becomes easy, you kind of say to yourself, "My God, why didn't I do this years ago?"
Yeah. It's like, diet changes that I've had to make are not as hard as I thought, and that kind of thing. But, let's see, you're on tomorrow night, right?
I am with 3 Big Hours.
Okay, because I wanted, I had sent you an email, but it probably didn't get through, or you probably lost it, but I want to know. I'll just do it real quick. I'm going to have to do biologics because those pills are not working for my RA.
All right.
So I've got two options. I can stab myself, I can inject myself in the stomach, or I can take these shots once every other month. And so I'm trying to find out what supplements and things I can take to deal with the trashing of my immune system.
Understood. Now, when did you send the email?
I think last week, maybe right after Christmas or right around Christmas.
All right. I'm going to, and God knows where it is. But what I'm going to do is put you on hold. I want you to tell John what your what name, it came from. So I'll search it.
Okay, it's the usual address. So,
Give me that. And that way I can search it that way. Or if you know for sure exactly what you put in the subject line, I can search it that way too.
My health.
My health is what you put there?
My health.
Okay, let's do that. Let's see if it comes up that way. Yeah. All right, let's see.
Yeah, I don't like to bring this stuff up on the show.
Got it. And
so
you know what?
It
wound up in spam. It wound up in junk mail. So let me immediately say, not junk. Okay, so it just moved it. And All right.
I know sometimes you get busy and sometimes you dump your email.
I thought,
I'll just ask about the vitamins. If nothing else, I'll ask on the show.
Yeah, no, I will look for that. I don't think you're telling me in this email exactly what the two choices are. I'd like to know that.
Okay. I'll either talk to you about it tomorrow or I'll send you another email.
Yeah, right, send me an email, and absolutely, because depending on how they each work, there may be things that that I've heard are better than others. And, of course, I'm not a doctor, so don't trust my advice, but it'll give you a way to start looking further.
Yeah, this is an infusion. I'm supposed to go in and get, I'm scared.
Well, of course. Of course. Yeah. Well, if you're at that point where you're saying, I can't function anymore, the pain is too great or whatever, that's when you start to say, I'm going to have to look at what is the best of the worst, so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
I get that, and obviously, you delay that as long as you can. But when you get to a point where saying, hey, it's really quality of life, it's this or nothing, then you start to look at other avenues. And I understand that. But sometimes
I'm tired of this.
Right.
I'm tired of this running my life.
Right.
I don't want it to run my life.
Right. Well, and I'll be curious what they recommend, and I'll take a look at it, and I promise I will respond.
Okay. Thanks a lot,
Ronnie. Thanks. Talk to you later. Okay, bye. Mm-hmm. All right. So there you have that. If you want the final word on this short show, well, by all means, now's the time to dial 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Sitting here wondering, matchbox holding my clothes. Yeah, I'm sitting here wondering, matchbox holding my clothes. I ain't got no matches, but I got a long way to go. I'm an old poor boy, long way from home. I'm an old poor boy, long way from home. Guess I'll never be happy. Everything I do is wrong. Yeah!
till your big dog comes. Let me be your little dog till your big dog comes. When the big dog gets here, show him what this little puppy done. Well, I'm
hold my clothes. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Carl Perkins. And lucky for him, he wrote it. I say that because, of course, the Beatles covered it, put it on an album. Yeah, that's an annuity right there. Recorded around Christmas time, 1956, and that was Sam Phillips producing. By the way, piano was Jerry Lee Lewis on that. And, of course, Carl singing and doing guitar work as well. All right, so 888-876-5593 is going to take us to Herb and Elgin. All right, Herb, thanks for calling. Welcome back to WGN.
Yeah, Happy New Year to belated to you and John.
Yeah, you too.
And the reason I was calling also, I always enjoy your show. What I was calling about, though, Jim had mentioned a certain thing that also you had mentioned about Hadley.
Yes.
Well, and Karen also had mentioned about the fact that she was blind. Well, I have glaucoma.
Uh-huh.
And in reference to Jim and the thing that he could do, there's so many things that he could do right now that he could learn from
right.
Hadley and also from other sources
right.
that he could actually utilize the vision that he do have, so therefore when he starts getting having additional problems, he'll automatically be familiar with those things.
Agreed. Absolutely.
So it's all types of, I all have all types of different techniques that I use, and also I belong to a men's group, and we nationwide, and we contact each other and talk about different technical things that could be done also.
Ah, what is it? But, is it for the public? Can you tell me what it is?
Well, no, it's just, well, we have, it's a gentleman that works with it in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. But if you get you could take my number and then contact me, and then I could give you the information and give him the information on the website. Because we just started up about 2 years ago.
Well, good. I am going to get your phone number. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask Jim when he calls back to give you a call.
Right, and then you could keep it on record also, because
yeah.
it's very good. And Hadley, I give them 100 plus on the things that they do, because I contacted them, and they even sent out different type of cartridges that you could use.
That's great.
That tell you how to cook and the different thing that you do if you cook, and, you know, all kind of little different things, different techniques that you could use.
Good. Excellent.
So definitely he need to take advantage of those things, because you know, it's hard when you start losing your vision. You know, I've had that problem when it started with glaucoma. It slowly creeps up on you. And like Karen said, there's nothing really at a certain point when it comes to the doctor that they could do. Even I have a specialist, but he said there's nothing he could do. You just have to continue to put the drops in and keep the pressure down.
Right. No, 100%. And right now,
right.
It's just a race against the clock for Jim, and he needs to, you know, look at it that way. Like, every moment is precious, and it should be spent learning something that will benefit him when he can't see at all. I agree.
That's right. So if he start to, you know, if he contact them, if he start to work on it, and if you want to contact me, there's so many different techniques that I use around the house, and also some of them that I had a specialist that came from downtown and from Darren Sisters, and they came out and showed me a lot of different techniques I could use in the house, different things I could use when I go outside. They provide me with different type of, you know, things you put on the microwave where you could actually push the buttons. You don't have to really be able to identify exactly where it says start. You just put the, you know, different type of. It's all different type of methods, and I would like to pass some of that information on to Jim.
No, that'd be great, absolutely great. And, you know, you mentioned about pushing buttons and stuff, and that's one of the things that really bothers me now. So many devices are no longer tactile, where you absolutely have nothing you can feel. And it's alarming to me that manufacturers don't consider the fact that maybe someone can't see this.
You're right. Well, what they actually do, they have these well, you could really buy them at the dollar store or places. You know, they have these little impressions that extends out, and you just take them off and peel them off and then stick them on whatever you want, and then you could feel it. And so that's what I basically did with quite a few of the things. The microwave, you know, where it says start, you just put the little button on there and push it, and, you know, you don't have to be trying to see it. You just feel it.
No, that's great. But like, for instance, some of these washers that are out now where you're trying to pick the cycle you want and it's just something that spins and spins and spins. And, you know, it's like, how the hell do you know? Because Fran had bought this out. So I went to my washer. I put a blindfold over my eyes and said, let me see what I can do. And the answer was nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, unacceptable.
Well, I'm blessed with a caretaker, so I don't have to do that.
Yeah, that's nice. That's really nice.
But I understand what you're speaking about. Yeah. It makes a big difference.
It does. Yeah. Well, hang on a minute. Yeah. Don't go away. I want you, John, to get your number. So stay where you are, and thanks for calling, Herb. All right.
Okay.
Good deal.
Alrighty.
And so hopefully Jim is still listening, and that might be some great advice because, the clock is now ticking, so that's it. Jim has to be off to the races because it's now or never. All right. So on that note, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling, those of you who did, and for listening. And tomorrow, 3 big hours, and we'll start it out talking about Bobby Rich, and then whatever is on your mind will be on mine right here on WGN Radio.